Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome to your Red Friday. 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Emeka Murray. You're like, you kind of are Mini Bink.
Oh, you're going to go with the Mini Bink nickname now, yeah.
You did 4 hours of radio, grubbed, took a nap, and then did 2 hours of radio.
Yep.
Grubbed, took again. A nap, came back, and now you're doing 4 hours of radio.
There you go, Mini Bink.
Hey, let me tell you something, you guys. Yeah. Guys, see that game last night? Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow.
Like, so New York. So small in New York. Yeah. I love it.
You're like those Instagram posts of like mini NFL players.
Yeah, with a little tiny microphone exactly. And whatnot. Yeah. No, we're going to start calling you Mini Bink. Yeah, oh, I like gosh. It.
I think Halloween's overrated.
Yeah, that was a terrible take.
I mean, like, it was so bad.
You sound like Whitey. I mean, it wasn't even good. And like halfway through his take, he's like, I don't think this is a really good take. I better try to get out of this thing, and just really couldn't. At least that's how I was listening to it as, right? Like, then Halloween stinks. Why, Jay? Well, it just does. Okay.
Halloween's awesome. That's my take, and that's all I need to get into. Honestly,
this like, guy peddling Halloween being a failed holiday.
Yeah, they took our holidays. They took away our holidays, and they took away Halloween. You know, what happened to the good old days of Halloween when it's okay to give away a beer? Nobody did that. Well, they should have. Like, well,
did you ever go to a house and somebody hand you a Budweiser as a kid?
I mean, no. I mean, my grandparents my great grandparents one year gave me. Do you remember the McDonald's coupons that looked like dollar bills?
Yeah, they gave me
$5 in that and an ashtray.
From McDonald's?
No, it was Coors Light, Navy Blue, and I was 6 years old.
Yeah, 6 years old, you got the ashtray. See, my generation,
I'd wait 16
though,
years to like, use that.
We used to take art classes in school and used to make stuff out of clay.
Yeah, we did.
Everybody
that.
Made an ashtray for their parents back then.
Different times.
Everybody smoked, right? Like, hey, what'd you make? I made mom an ashtray. Go kill yourself and ashen this, right? Like, We didn't know back then, but that's what everybody was doing, making ashtrays out of clay. Mr. Phelps, the art teacher, terrible toupee. We called him Felper. Wore a smock, had a scamp with like reflectors glued all around the car. The entire car had reflectors glued on it.
Wow.
Yeah, he was great. Dick Phelps was his name. Dick Phelps. Yep. He died recently.
Michael's dead.
I love Dick. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that was a drop.
Been waiting for the right time.
Well, you got it.
Yeah, so make an ashtray out of clay and enjoy your Friday, right?
So, Red Friday, Denver, Kansas City, obviously the important game for the local team this weekend. Last night, though, right? Last night was a delayed start is what it felt like. Very first half, and then third quarter dominated by Cincinnati, and then fourth quarter, hold my beer, enjoy the fireworks.
Yeah, well, that's what I was telling you like before the show, because we were texting back and forth last night. We're like, this game blows. It wasn't fun. It wasn't good. I saw a tweet from Jeff Schwartz, Mitchell Schwartz's brother. He goes, well, I went to bed early. I regret that decision. I got a text from a buddy of mine last night, Ryan.
Of course.
Mr. Lash out there who's fighting bears with the switchblade. And he said to me, he goes, well, I'm going to cash out. I took the over. I'm going to cash. They're going to only only lose a dollar if I cash out now, so I'm going to cash out now. I'm like, yeah, I don't think this game is going over. 35-34 final.
I tried
to went over, baby.
Classic.
I tried to tell people the over is going to hit. Last time they played, there's like 78 points scored.
The over didn't hit. It was blowing out of the water. Wasn't it like a 51 or something like that into the game?
Low 50s. Over under was 53.5.
Yeah. It went over. Yeah. It went over last night. What, 69, right? Nice. Very good. Well done by those two teams. But I was telling Dusty during the break. Yeah, that is outstanding.
She's such a smooth ride.
Uh-huh. During the break, I was telling Dusty, I said, look, this is why we call it the witching hour. And he's like, man, that's probably right. Because NFL games are pretty much turds unless it's your team early on. And then you get to the fourth quarter, the second half, and it is a light show, baby. And those guys put up a hell of a show for you last night. And, you know, it was a
grand finale was worth the wait.
It really was. Yeah, it really was, man. That was a great Thursday night football game, you know, last night. And, you know, they went for two at the end, which is the right decision at that point in time. 100%. Because I woke up again to another text from my friend Britt, this is why you don't go for two. I'm like, no, this is exactly why you go for two. At that point, you didn't want to give Lamar the ball back with a, you know, an opportunity.
I will say this, though, as I apologize for cutting you off.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is Lamar Jackson worth it to have that mentality?
Yeah, absolutely. The way he played in the fourth quarter.
So then who are the quarterbacks that merit that mentality? Mahomes?
Mahomes, yeah.
Jackson?
Yeah. I think Burrow. Yeah. Okay. Allen, maybe. Maybe those four, and that's
about
it.
Those are they can't get the ball back type of guys, no matter how much time's on the clock?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to put the ball in those guys' hands. Like, at one point, Al Michaels said last night, kind of proving my point a little bit.
He said a lot last night.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But he said, like, something about, like, Joe Burrow's eyes. You can see the death in his eyes, right? And I'm like, that's why I want these guys eliminated, right? That's exactly why I wanted these guys eliminated from playoffs. Now, not that they are. They're 4-6 at this point in time, and there's still a little bit of life there. But that loss last night goes a long way into further pushing the Cincinnati Bengals down the chart, because Joe Burrow is a stone-cold killer back there, man. Like, every time I look at him, I get PTSD. I do. I don't have that, really, I don't think, for any other athlete. But when I see him, I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to see him in January. And Lamar took over last night in the fourth quarter and ended up, you know, leading them to that victory. And I woke up this morning and read the ESPN write-up, and I saw this line about Lamar Jackson. This is what ESPN said. Lamar Jackson is playing his best football ever. And I read that, and I'm like, okay, there's a fair point to be made. I mean, he was perfect in the fourth quarter last night.
Yep.
But think about it this way, and this is the way my warped brain works. Lamar is playing his best football ever, according to ESPN, and they have three losses. Patrick Mahomes is playing probably his worst statistical season of his career at this point in time, having a mid-season up until the last couple of games or so, and his team is 8-0. Like, I just sit there and I go, our guy is playing the worst maybe he's ever played statistically. And everybody's pointing it out with the interceptions and all that. And his team is 8-0. They said on ESPN, Lamar Jackson is playing his best football ever, and his team has three losses. So, like, if that doesn't tell you how good Patrick Mahomes is, I don't know what more we need to do. You know, like, that right there is like, wow.
I think I can play the opposite side of that. Because I think Lamar Jackson is playing his best football ever because he has to.
It's almost like Mahomes in 2018, you know?
The Ravens defense is going to be the reason they don't go as far as they want to go.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not good.
They're not good. No.
They give up a lot of points, and they know their offense is electric. And the Ravens basically accepted that when they went and got Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They could have gotten what I think they could have gotten Marshawn Lattimore. They could have patched up their defense. And basically what they said to everybody is that we are going to 2018 Chiefs this thing. We're going to give our quarterback the ball because we know he's a playmaker and arguably probably the number two or number three quarterback in the league. And we're going to lean on him to win the game and give him all the weapons he has. He's got Derrick Henry. He's turned Rashad Bateman's career around. Uh-huh. Zay Flowers is absolutely insane.
Insane.
Light on his feet, can explode at any moment. Then you have, you know, Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews connections there.
Yep.
So they're basically telling you, we're going to give our quarterback everything he needs and just trust in him.
So we're too far away on the defense to where Marshawn Lattimore is going to help us. It's not worth it. Let's go get more offensive weapons.
Let's tell people, can you score 49? Because we can score 48.
Right.
That's what the Chiefs did in 2018.
Right. But it didn't work, right?
And it didn't work because their defense exposed them when it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the defense's fault that they lost? You're 1,000% right it was. D Ford was offside. Yes. He wasn't intelligent enough in the moment, in that time, to have that play to where he was offside. The defense cost you the game.
Right.
You fast forward the clocks, right? Mahomes, statistically, is having his worst career ever because for 4 years of Mahomes' career, he's had to be the guy. Mm-hmm. Hey, go do everything while we figure out what we can do for this defense. And in 2022, they fixed it when they drafted Cook, Chenault, McDuffie, and Karloftis.
Yeah.
Because they realized when they lost that game in 2021 to
which one? The Cincinnati game? Yeah.
They couldn't get to Burrow.
Right.
He just got to sit back there, and you saw it. Stone Cold Killer. He could even be more of a Stone Cold Killer when the defense is allowing him to do that.
Yep.
That's why last night he was sitting there like, I'm going to cook these guys, but my defense is also terrible.
Yeah, so it was like a
lose-lose. But Patrick Mahomes, yes, at the end of the year, statistically, it will not be maybe, I don't know, because he's starting to trend in that direction.
He is. He's getting better.
It may not be the numbers that are Mahomes threw for 4,600 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 12 picks. It might be Mahomes threw for 4,200 yards, 34 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. You look at that, Jared Goff goes, put that on my plaque in the Hall of Fame. Kirk Cousins says, I'll take that every year.
Sure, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes goes, gosh, dog it. Next year, I got to be better. And everybody goes, wow. And that's why the Chiefs, in my opinion, we can get into this more. That's why I think the Chiefs are that team this year. That's why they're 8-0, because Mahomes doesn't have to go into Iron Man. He can be Tony Stark, wear the nice suit, be the fun guy, be a little cocky, gets the job done. If you want him to turn into Iron Man, which he has done the last 2 weeks, good luck, because
yeah.
He's also got some Avengers on his defensive side, too, that are just as powerful in other ways, because that's the way the team's built.
Well, and
Baltimore
that's why
is putting all their chips in Lamar Jackson in this offense. Cincinnati has done the same thing, and last night, you saw a really fun and awesome game, and when those teams play the Chiefs, they have a problem. They can't do that consistently.
Yeah, that's a lot of Bob Fesco coming out of you right now, and what I mean by that is, like, you've taken it to the next level. You are actually looking at the full team, because in the NFL, we've been conditioned to just look at the offense, and look at the offense, look at the offense plays, big deal. They made a nice play here or there. You don't win unless you're strong on both sides of the football. And the team that is the strongest on both sides of the football, far and away, are the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that is it. The Chiefs are a top five defense, and they will be a top five offense by the time this season is all said and done. And if you're not strong on both sides of the football, you're not going to win in the NFL. The Chiefs have proven that over the years. Until they got good on defense, they really didn't flip the script and win that Super Bowl, right? They flipped the script. They got rid of their defensive coordinator. They brought in Tyron Matthew. They brought in Frank Clark. They brought in all those guys, flipped that script, and became better on defense. And once they got better on defense, that's when they became better as a football team. And for whatever reason, over the last decade or so, we have been conditioned to just judge teams based on what they do on offense. Mm-hmm. And you start looking at some of these teams on offense that put up all these numbers, find out where their defense is, and then that will tell you where they got eliminated in the postseason. You've got to be good on defense in the NFL. The Chiefs have realized that. They put all their resources, for the most part now, on the defensive side of the football. First-round draft picks, second-round draft picks, 2 first-round draft picks. In the same draft, the Felix first-round draft pick. Like, they're putting all of their resources on that side of the football, because if you can stop the opposition, it makes your job so much easier. What Patrick Mahomes did in 2018 is probably the hardest season that he's ever had, because he had to go out there and legitimately score 35 to 40 points per game in order to give his team an opportunity to win. Now, he doesn't have to do that. If he scores 28, his team's winning. All you have to do is find the end zone 4 times in 9 or 10 drives that you're going to have, and it makes it that much easier for your team to win games when you don't have to have your quarterback and offense score on every single possession. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Baltimore Ravens are right now. And when they face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game or the AFC Divisional Round, whatever it is, they are going to have to score on every possession. And that's not going to happen with this Kansas City Chiefs defense. And we already saw that here at Arrowhead. How many points did they score that day? They didn't even score 21.
Again, 3 things you find out last night. Lamar Jackson is clear-cut runaway the MVP of the league, right? 10 games, 7-3, 69 completion percentage, almost 2,700 yards, 24 touchdowns, 2 picks.
And he's the MVP this year, like Patrick Mahomes was the MVP in 2018. Yeah. Has to be the MVP for his team to have success.
I think Mahomes would rather have Super Bowl MVPs than regular season MVPs. Because Lamar's got none of those. He might have 3 regular seasons, but Mahomes has 2 of those. The other thing is, you know that Lamar Jackson's nicknames are Action Jackson or Lamarvelous.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
Yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah, oh God, yes, yeah.
We knew it was LaMarvelous?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Everybody named Lamar is LaMarvelous. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know it was either. Absolutely. I didn't know his actual
name. It's just like anybody
either.
Whose last name is Smith, you call him Smitty.
Smitty.
I just didn't know it was LaMarvelous and Action Jackson. Coming up on the other side.
Also, why did he need an escort to go poop in the middle of the game?
Never know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, I wish I had one for you. But on the other side, be careful what you wish for. It happens all the time with new people that come to Kansas City. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Liggett, you're listening. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mitch Holtis in 1 hour, your voice of the Chiefs. It's an early start this Sunday.
You going to be up and ready for it, everybody? Like we were saying, like you got to meet at 6 a.m., get on the bus, let's go.
Man, you got a German appetizer. A little schnitzel before the pretzel.
Or maybe it's the other way around. Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. The Germany game. Yes.
Daniel Jones versus Bryce Young.
Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You got to be excited if you're in Munich this weekend for that matchup, right?
There's only...
Yikes.
That's a quarterback matchup that you can sell to anybody that's not from the United States.
Can you even sell it to somebody?
Apparently, you sold it to Germany.
Yeah, well, that's
last
true.
Year, you're that like, listen true. To this. Listen to this. Patrick Mahomes, probably the best quarterback in the NFL, is going to play his former teammate, Super Bowl champion, and one of the best offenses in the league, Miami Dolphins. Oh, yes, give me that. Das yes, Boot, right, yes. This next year, I'm going to give you Andy Kaufman versus an average guy. Okay, sounds good.
Oh, you're saying Bryce Young is average? Wow, he leapt.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
You got to sell it.
Yeah, you do. You're right.
You're right. No, you know? Good pitch.
You can't be like, there's this one guy who sucks. And the other guy also sucks. But that one point, they were looked at as they could be good.
They could be good. That was like seven years ago.
Nine.
Yeah, let's go. Bring him on over to Carolina Giants. That is your morning game.
What's funny too is it's like premeditated. Like they sold this game years ago, like a couple years ago. Like, they had to have known these teams were still going to be bad.
Well, they made the schedule in May. Like, that's kind of when it came out.
So
this
when did
year.
The Chiefs knew they were going to Germany next year, though? Like, we already know they're going to Germany, so it's already been like, hey, here's the idea.
Are they going back next year?
Yes. I think they go every other year.
No. You don't go every other year.
I thought the Chiefs were that team.
Oh, I...
Like, Jacksonville goes every year because they're, like, affiliated with London.
Right,
I thought the Chiefs were with Germany, but it's every other year.
No, there's about four teams that are affiliated. There is a great map you can look at and see where all these teams are, like, what countries they own, technically, in the NFL. And so, no, I mean, unless the Chiefs go back as a visitor, which they thought they were going to do this year, was go back as a visitor with the Carolina Panthers because they're playing in Carolina.
Oh, that would make sense because you don't want to steal a home game every year.
Yeah. So they thought the Chiefs were going to go, like there was talk this year that the Chiefs would be the visiting team against Carolina where the Giants are the visiting team.
For some
this
reason,
week,
I
right?
thought the Chiefs had like ownership stake in like Bayern Munich or something or some other German football club.
I don't know. I've not heard that, but they do. Like own Germany, like that's their territorial right. Like each NFL team has been granted like territories, you know, around the world where they can market their team and do all that.
Clearly,
kind of stuff.
London is Jacksonville's. We get it.
Hell yeah,
Jacksonville and Atlanta. That's your territory.
Yeah, you guys go there to London. So.
Dad joke of the day. Did you know what the German word for constipation is?
No,
far from pooping.
All right, okay, yeah, that's really good.
You can congratulations, 816.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mac. You had a take. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say this is kind of the game for the number one pick. I mean, whoever loses this game probably ends up with the number one pick and probably sets their franchise back another 5 years.
Yeah,
so a lot
because
of the
there's
line.
Who's number one?
Exactly.
I mean, I did hear one yesterday. I know, and that's where I'm going with one. I did hear yesterday somebody saying like maybe Dallas is going to tank the rest of the way, so they can definitely get Shedeur Sanders.
Wow. Yeah, Deion's going to become their coach.
It'd be fantastic.
What's in the script?
That's
what sucks because that's the one place I can't follow Deion to.
Yeah, you know, Dallas.
Like, Raiders, I'd be like, all right, this is kind of interesting. Broncos, that's not going to happen, so don't worry about it, because they're gonna drink the Kool-Aid of Sean Payton's garbage.
Right.
I think the Chargers are set for at least three more years, for sure.
Sure.
Dallas is, I can't get back with that, man.
No. If he goes to Dallas,
I'm like damn it, Deion, this is where I get off the train,
but,
dude.
I mean, but that's like kind of the
they don't have to tank, though.
Like, they have Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush playing quarterback this weekend. And look, if Dak Prescott truly had the tendon or hamstring ripped off the bone, you're telling me that guy's going to be back in 4 weeks?
No chance.
What do you think the odds are better on? Seeing Dak again this year or not seeing Dak again?
Not seeing Dak again.
I would imagine. And if you lose these games, because you got
nothing to play for.
There's no reason to bring him back, so you might as well tank right now.
And then you trade him in the offseason, or you do what we just talked about, how we said yesterday. You let him play, you know, a couple more years, let Shador sit behind him, which I don't know if that's going to happen due to his, like, father's personality and Shador's possible personality in the NFL. It'll get a little bit more humbled once he's not the big man on campus, no pun intended. But, like, I don't know if, like, if that's one thing I do worry about with Deion, like, where he's going to get with his son's professional career.
Yeah.
Like, I do worry about that because, like, college, I'm totally for it. Like, you're still his dad. He's still a college athlete. I understand it. Like, I know Shador is extremely, like, over-the-top arrogant. Like, I understand that. So is his father.
Yeah. Oh God.
But like,
really?
But like, I don't know if like Deion's gonna be like, you know, my son ought to play, man. Like, he shouldn't be behind Dak. It's like, well,
if Deion ends up being the head coach in Dallas and they draft Shador, like, there's no question. Shador Sanders is the starting quarterback.
And then they're
going
to trade their other picks to get Travis Hunter, and they're going to take that to Dallas.
Could you imagine? Like, that's the script right there. If you want to get Dallas back to the promised land, you're going to have to start doing that kind of stuff. And with Jerry getting up there, he's in his 80s now, right? Mm-hmm. So with him being up there in age,
you
may see some stuff like that. But it's a good thing we don't have to worry about that. We got a lot of Chiefs we're thankful for here in Kansas City next week, every day at 6:40. We're going to play a highlight of a Chiefs player we are thankful for. Caller 6 will be qualified every day during that giveaway week for a $500 grand prize to Hy-Vee to get you ready for Thanksgiving. So be listening every single day next week at 6:40. We'll have 5 qualifiers and announce the winner at the end of the week.
Favorite. I think, I'd rather play in a hostile environment than a low-level environment that's not as much fun, you know, no fans at the game. You kind of have to bring your own energy. I think these games are fun because, there's a level of excitement, a level of, you know, passion going into the game. And, again, I go back, these are the games you grow up watching and dreaming about playing. So, you know, if you're not ready for these games, then you probably don't belong in the league. But I'm excited about this, the hostility and the, a new environment. I've never been to the stadium. You know, it's well-known around the league. It's one of the best. And so, I'm excited.
I, for one, have nothing wrong about this take. No. The only problem is that you're dangling a raw piece of chicken in front of a bed of alligators. And, you know, you can be, you know, super happy that you're getting ready to come to Arrowhead, but their fan base listens to that a different way. Oh, you're excited to come here? You want to step into the kingdom?
Yeah.
All right, get ready for this. Where he's telling you from his perspective, like, when I was a kid and I played Madden, like, the crowd noise was cool. Like, everybody knows, like, the Sea of Red, home of the Chiefs. Like, Taylor Swift's there now. Like, they're the Super Bowl champs. Like, all you know, if you're outside of the Kansas City area, about Arrowhead is it's one of the loudest places in the world, sports-wise. And it's, you know, you go in there and it's a different experience because of, like, the crowd volume and everything that comes with it. So, like, you're like, man, I want to play there.
Yeah,
like, it's like every golfer is like, I want to be in the Masters contingent on Sunday. And then you get there and you're like, dude, this sucks. Like,
yeah,
this
then, is then you poop your pants. But, right? Like, or, everybody coming in says that, you know?
But, I mean, I think that that's the way it's going to be perceived. Like, the other thing, too, is, like, I hope you're ready. Like, that's the other thing. If you really are excited to play in a place like this in a hostile environment, because those are his words, not mine. If you really are excited to have the hostility and the fun, because, like, there's only been a few quarterbacks that I have seen come into Arrowhead and actually maintain it.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck was one. Andrew Luck came in here.
Well, he was just a cool, calm, collected dude.
It didn't affect him. Like, Mahomes beat that Colts team in the first playoff win at home in 30 years. Like, that was just like it was like, all right, here we go. Like, this is great.
Burrow handled it well.
He's got that in him where he can, like, kind of, like, feed off of it, which is kind of, like, annoying. It's almost
why
like,
I don't want to see him.
It's almost like the reverse psychology to do to, like, opposing teams to do that. Yeah. It's just go completely quiet. I don't know if that would ever happen, obviously. Peyton was able to do it, obviously. Tom.
Yeah, and Brady. Yeah.
Not many come in here, let alone rookies, come in here and walk out going, that was awesome. It's more so like, oh, God, I got to go there again next year. It's like, yeah, dude, like, that's what Arrowhead is. But I love the sort of mentality instead of coming in and being like, oh, yeah, they call it Burrowhead or saying, like, you know, talking trash on it. It's more so of a polite,
unaware acceptance to what Arrowhead is.
Well, but that's been everybody over the years. I mean, we used to have a montage of all these people saying they can't wait to come to Arrowhead and play. Like, we think as fans here in Kansas City that it's an intimidating place to play. Players look at it and say, you know what? There's nothing like this in the NFL. I can't wait to get there and see that atmosphere. And they actually thrive off of that atmosphere. I mean, they absolutely love it because you don't experience, you think you're getting that atmosphere in LA this weekend where the Chargers are offering $15 tickets to see them take on the Tennessee Titans. You think you're getting that kind of love down in Arizona or anywhere else, or Dallas or Jacksonville or any, like a lot of these places you walk into, they're just these stale environments with senior citizens sitting in the crowd, right? You come to Kansas City, it is a completely different experience. From the minute you land to the minute you take off and get out of town, it's all about the Chiefs. It's all about the Arrowheads experience. It's all about playing this team and the noise, and you work and you prepare not only for the Chiefs, but you're preparing for the stadium as well all week in practice with the loud noise and the music and trying to do all that kind of stuff to try to recreate that experience. And if somebody's never been here, like Ben Maller's coming for the first time this week in the meet and greet on Saturday, 2-4 at the Landing in Liberty. We will have 96.5 The Fan t-shirts to give away as well from 2 until 4 at the Landing in Liberty on Saturday. So we encourage you to come up and hang out with us. He's excited because he's never been here before. Can't wait to see the atmosphere. Can't wait to see the experience. And players are human too, and they have that, you know? And a lot of these guys get fired up by the Arrowhead crowd. We think it, like, you know, it hurts them, but a lot of guys do thrive on this kind of stuff. Like Joe Burrow will thrive on this kind of stuff, you know. And so when you haven't had that experience going in for the first time, it's awesome, man. Yeah. Ask anybody who ever had that first Arrowhead experience. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. I love it. I want to play here all the time. And then we beat you and we send you home. But Bo Nix should be saying that kind of stuff. Like, he probably hasn't seen an environment like that since playing down at Auburn or being at LSU or some of those SEC type schools, and now gets to see that in the NFL, which is not common. He should be excited about coming here.
Second down, Denver inside their one. Elway is under center. Now he pulls away again, his hands on his hips. He looks back at Gordon McConner, the referee, said, "Hey, what gives?"
Again, I have asked the defense to help lower the crowd noise. Any further crowd noise problem will result in a charge timeout against Kansas City. Thank you for your cooperation.
Thank you for your cooperation. Yeah. And a massive boo, dude. That's the best part of the whole video.
The best part about it for me, though, is it's not as loud as it is today back then, right? Like, because we set the record. Like, it's louder now than it was then, and John Elway couldn't handle it. But, you know, that's just the Arrowhead experience. You stand, you yell, you scream, you have fun, and you leave exhausted. Like, I leave games exhausted. When we get out of there on Sunday, I'm going to be exhausted from being at that football game. I can't imagine if I had to play that football game and how exhausting that is as well. But no, it's the best experience in the NFL. It's probably the best experience in all of professional sports. And so you get there and you have that opportunity to see what's going on. You get a chance to play in that. You're looking around, you go, man, this is wild. And then you get smacked upside the head, you know, by George Karloftis or a blitzing Justin Reed. And then you're readjusting your helmet going, all right, I'm ready to get the hell out of here and go home.
The other thing that is kind of, I don't know if he's missing the point of it, but this is Bo Nix's first time getting to see 15.
Yeah.
And I think as much as people will say the crowd is fearful, like, that is, to me, like, what makes kind of Kansas City almost like the closest thing to, like, a high-octane college team in the pros. Like, they have all the, like, and I know some teams do, and it's a lot cooler and better when your team is winning, but all the, like, preamps to, like, the game, like, they have the flyover, home of the Chiefs. The crowd starts doing the chop.
Right.
Here comes Mahomes. He runs down to the corner.
I can feel the adrenaline
zone,
kicking in right
now.
And he
like does the jump up, and then they hit the Black Betty or they hit the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it's like, that's all kicked in. Like, that's what you get. That's like your appetizer, Bo, to the game. I'm trying to let you know. And then all of a sudden it's like dead quiet, and you hear Mahomes' raspy voice starting to call out plays, and it's like, oh, God, I forgot we're going to go against this guy too. And you got to worry about that guy because he's on the come when it comes to the production in the season. His last four games, touchdown interception ratio, not great, right? Like
5 touchdowns, 4 picks. But his last 4 games, 331, 154, 262, 291. There's an uptick in yardage.
All wins.
The other guy, correct. The other guy who's doing more the last 4 games, Travis Kelce, 9 for 70, 4 for 17, 10 for 90, 14 for 100, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He could find the nectars of the end zone a little bit more. That'd be great.
You know.
But when you got this guy, Kareem Hunt, who since joining the team has 27 for 102, 22 for 78, 21 for 59, 27 for 106, and a total of 5 touchdowns. They're showing you the script of what they're going to do. Mahomes, we also know the stat that you found. Third down, he is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So much better than everybody else. We talked about at the beginning of the show, Lamar Jackson has to go out and be over the top, good and electric and Lamarvelous. Whereas Patrick Mahomes is like, you know what? I've just got to be my best on third down and in the fourth quarter. And he's done that. And there's reasons why they're 8-0, and there's reasons why people aren't talking about him, because it's just been of recency that they've figured out their offense moving forward. It took Christmas Day last year. It took Halloween this year.
It also took Patrick Mahomes understanding that it's okay not to go out there and have to throw for 500 yards and 50 points every single game. And if he was still playing that style of football, this team would not be undefeated.
No, he's Verlander for the Astros, not Verlander for the Tigers.
Exactly. Yeah. The older you get, the more you learn and the more you understand what's most important. How am I going to put my team in position to win a game? And he even said that last week or 2 weeks ago, where I think it was last week, I was listening to his press conference, and he said something to the effect of, you know, I know now that it's okay to, you know, play a field position game. He didn't understand that in 2018 and 2019. Now, he didn't also have the defense that, you know, that he has right now. So you have a good defense, and now Patrick Mahomes has realized, and I think he probably realized at Christmas Day last year, I don't have to go out there and be a hero. I can just go out there and be a guy and play a football game and come through when it matters most. If Patrick Mahomes was trying to put up the numbers that every fantasy guy wanted him to put up, this team would not be an undefeated football team. But where he really is productive on third down, and you know I'm not a huge stat guy, but like stats that tell the story that matter, Patrick Mahomes has a 58.6% success rate on third and three and more this year. Mm-hmm. So if it's third and three, four, five, six, whatever it is, Patrick Mahomes converts that almost 60% of the time. The league average on converting third and three or more is 38%. Mm-hmm. No other quarterback in the NFL is above 48%. So not only is Patrick Mahomes crushing the rest of the NFL, he's crushing everybody in his wake. Nobody's even close to Patrick Mahomes when it comes to converting on third downs. And that's why drives stay alive, because they know how to come through when the down matters most. We saw a little of that out of Joe Burrow on the first drive last night. Every third down, he was moving it down the field, moving it down the field. That's what Patrick Mahomes does better than anybody else by about 10 percentage points. And so when you see third and long, I've said for years, I'm more comfortable with third and 17 than I am third and one with this team, right? You can get 17 yards. They can't get a yard. Now with Kareem Hunt, they're doing better at that. But these guys just know how to convert. They know how to make the plays when they matter the most. And that's the advancement of Patrick Mahomes. It no longer has to be, ooh, let me light up the scoreboard. Let me light up the stat sheet. Now let me light up the win column and we'll go ahead and do it that way.
We revisit that Saquon Barkley play, not because of how cool it was, because, well, Charles Barkley said one of the funniest things about it, and we go back to what we are loving, which is the text line, 913-586-7965. We ask you a question on the other side. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving back in here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Damn glad it's a Red Friday. Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the two Blue Springs high schools tonight. Can't wait for that game. Friday Night Lights, man. It just hits different when it's like districts.
It's playoff time, man. Yeah, of course, dude. It hits different. Olathe East taking on Shawnee Mission Northwest. Mm. Sorry, Haney, your team's going down.
Blue Springs at Blue Springs South tonight. That's a rivalry from my hometown.
There it is. I like that.
That's the cat clash.
Yeah. Is that what they call it? The cat clash?
They used to, at least.
Yeah. I don't know if they do that anymore or not.
The clash of the cats. Yeah. It's better than the Sunflower Showdown.
Hey, oh, God, yes. The Sunflower that Showdown just is like, stupid. It should still be called the Border War. Oh, wait, that's Missouri and Kansas.
Two teams from Kansas. The Sunflower Showdown. Oh, man, you had me there.
Yeah.
And then you just, yeah. Thank you very much for that.
What would you call it, though?
I don't know. Like,
The not Wheat State Clash? I mean,
not the Sunflower Showdown.
The Wheat State Clash? I mean, I don't know. I like Sunflower Showdown, I guess. I don't know.
The Man. War of the Wheat.
Yeah, there it is. I kind of like that. I don't mind that.
That's better, yeah. But, yeah.
Better than Sunflower Showdown.
That. Yeah, the War of the Wheat. War written the by wheat. Orson Welles back in the day, right? If you're looking for something to do this weekend, Friday through Sunday, this weekend only, Foaling is celebrating year two. Congratulations to my friends over at Foaling, 435 and State Line. $2 drink specials all weekend long, from beer, seltzer, ciders, all kinds of good stuff there at Foaling. $2 drinks all weekend long. Get a reservation at foalingkc.com. They got some lanes available for the weekend. Or if you just want to go and hang out and drink $2 beers and watch some games, you can do that as well. No admission charge if you're just going to hang out and do that. They're not going to charge you to foal around. But if you want to fool around and find out, reserve your lane at foalingkc.com and get $2 drinks all weekend.
It's just such a smooth ride.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Yeah. Sorry. This is what I wanted to
put. What really happened was I was going to hit a double spin.
So I knew bro. I saw the spin and you went to do it and you aborted.
Bro, I said the same thing. He went on autopilot and just blacked out.
I aborted it. So when I spun, I went to spin again. And I just, like, it's probably going to take away from how cool the play is. I really kind of, I thought he was going low. So I was just like, I'm going to be cool if I just jump up. But, you know, my body kind of took over.
And then he was drug tested.
Exactly, right after the game.
That audio of Saquon Barkley telling everybody how he, landed, attempted, and succeeded in the reverse hurdle.
That's something that just happens, right? Like, you don't plan that.
I mean, that's also something that we could do that play 10 more times, and seven of them were all going, oh, God, because, like, a helmet hits him in the hip. Could get absolutely, like, taken out from behind. I mean, just brutal could happen, but in that situation, it didn't. And I think it's funny and kind of, like, ironic that it's, like, drug test that man, because that is not natural, which led Mac and I to a discussion yesterday in our bullpen sessions where, I mean, that could be a future benchmark for the show. But in yesterday's bullpen session, I was like, it's kind of funny that they're like, that was unnatural or supernatural. Let's just make sure you weren't on drugs. Is there a performance that you've seen where you're like, that guy's on another planet, a.k.a. that guy needs to be drug tested?
Mark McGwire, yes.
Well, that was actual.
Which, okay. Barry Bonds. No, I mean, you start to look at some of these great performances. Like, I know they've drug tested Harrison Butker after games where he's kicked a long field goal. Or somebody in baseball seemingly has a nice game. They got the guy standing there here, please go pee in this cup, you know, after the game and whatnot. Like, you know, you start to think, like Patrick Mahomes, very well, they should test him after every game, right? Because he does Lamar last night doing what he did in the fourth quarter, a perfect passer rating in the first quarter. He was deadly in the fourth quarter last night. That was one of those type of moments. The Odell Beckham Jr. catch, you know, stuff of that nature. It seems like when these guys go out there and make these great plays, the drug lord is standing there going, yeah, please pee in this before you do anything else. And we're going to go see if your sample is clean, because that performance that you just had was like not real, not natural, not normal, not supposed to happen. So pee in this cup and we'll see how much residue you got in your system.
I mean, you could have convinced me that Bobby Witt Jr. was on drugs in July.
Yeah,
this year.
I mean, July, what that guy was doing in the month of July was unbelievable.
Why are they pitching to him?
Yeah, right.
Just take it. Take first.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the scene from Terminator 2 when he's like, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Right.
And the guy tries to fight him, and then eventually just like, take it.
Yeah.
Just take it.
But as the years go on, athletes are getting bigger, faster, and stronger, and we're still amazed by these amazing plays. But 20 years ago, plays like that are not happening. Like, you don't see Priest Holmes ever leaping over somebody or, you know, Larry Johnson or somebody of that nature. But now we're seeing it more and more in the NFL. Athletes are so talented these days.
The first month of Patrick Mahomes' starting career?
Yeah.
You remember those numbers?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the first two games. You didn't even need the first month. The first half.
These are literally, this is what's so stupid. These are literally his first four games in no particular order. These are just his first four games as a starter in the NFL. I guess this would be 18, so take away the week 17.
Yeah, we're not talking about
that. He wasn't necessarily the starter.
Yeah, yeah.
As a starter, his first four games, 256 and four touchdowns, 326 and six touchdowns, 314 and three touchdowns, 304 for one touchdown.
One touchdown only?
That's his first month in the season of the I have arrived.
Yeah.
Welcome to it. Yeah. 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Yeah, zero picks. Yeah, that's exactly
what
right.
What happened?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
You know, like, what happened? They got better as a team and have won four Super Bowls, three but Super I mean, Bowls,
like,
right?
That's a guy where, like, after that month, I'd be like, dude, you're pissing in a cup every week. Every day. We'll catch you eventually.
Tuesday.
Just like, damn it, maybe he's this good.
Yeah. Like, Tyreek Hill having games, you know, where he was going hog wild back in the day.
Somebody says Dante Hall when he juked the entire Denver special teams.
That would have been a good one, too. Yeah, no, that's a really good one. Alex Gordon after hitting the home run, you know, guys like that, like they do that, like Major League Baseball official, like somebody dominates a game pitching wise. Please pee in this cup. We'd like to know what's in your system today, or you know, like it. But these performances by athletes, man, they just get better and better. Like we're watching the glory days right now of all athletes in every sport. I was talking to one of the guys yesterday at the J about baseball and all the great stars that are in baseball right now. Right, you start listing all these guys. Football's got stars. The NBA's got stars.
Colin Cowherd said it's on a renaissance right now. Or it's in a renaissance.
Baseball is?
And that's Colin Cowherd, LA host, talking saying baseball's in a renaissance. Now it helps that the Dodgers won the World Series, but it goes to your point.
But it also helps because you do have stars, but the pitch clock really helped Major League Baseball. Yeah. It brought people back to the game. It was the greatest thing sports has ever done.
He said all the right teams have the right stars. He's like, Soto in New York is perfect.
Yep.
He's like, I think you mentioned Bobby Wood Jr. in Kansas City. He's like, you have a great athlete that you've got locked up in a market that's small, but he's a great person to build your fan base around, which brings more people to the television.
Which helps baseball grow. When you have stars in Kansas City and Cincinnati and the smaller markets, and you grow up watching Bobby Witt or Ellie De La Cruz or, fill in the blank of your favorite star player here. Acuña, or up in Minnesota with Joe Mauer all those years. Like, it's important to have superstars in the smaller markets because there's only so much that the coast can grow. You got to grow the middle of the country, right? You got to grow these smaller teams, and you can do that with these superstars. I totally agree with Colin. We're in a great spot with Major League Baseball right now. You got small market teams winning and going to the postseason. You got small market teams locking up their stars and whatnot. Yeah. And so that's why, like with Juan Soto, if he goes to the Mets, it ain't going to hit the same. Like, I get it.
No, New but York it's great for that rivalry, which matters for New York media.
For 3 days a year, like 3 days a year. So I just think if he goes to the Mets, he will be a forgotten figure because the Mets might as well be the Toronto Blue Jays, kind of an irrelevant team. You stay with the Yankees, I'll be honest with you, Juan, like that's going to be the best place for you to continue to grow as a superstar is with that franchise, unless you want to come here to Kansas City.
It's just such a smooth ride. It's just such a smooth ride.
You can just hear him smiling when he says that. Somebody says, look at Derrick Henry at his age. And what's that man better have a damn That man better have a damn cup pre and post game, dude.
Great text. I love that.
That's good.
Hey, Derrick, real quick. I know you just got here and you're in your pregame suit. Can you real quick?
Yeah, you got to go
after the game. Derrick, nice 200-yard game and three touchdowns. Jeez, man. Here's another one for you.
Yeah.
How many times can keep doing this?
Hey,
I don't know.
How about Yuli Gurriel being 40 and having the postseason that he had, right? Like, hey, let's give a round of applause to that guy.
Hey, he was awesome. Look what Barry Bonds was doing. Oh, wait, he never got tested.
Yeah. Oh, he got tested by something, I think, right?
Was it? Yeah.
He never got suspended, though, or anything, right, in baseball, right?
No, he never got proven that he tested.
Yeah.
He was just linked to the Balco stuff.
That's right, yeah.
Which I don't know if you watched that documentary, but it is awesome.
There's a couple of them that
I forget which ones I watched, but it's the Balco investigation
where they had the actual guy in there. Yeah,
and he's like super narcissistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like definition of narcissism. Watch the Vince McMahon doc and watch the Balco one. The guy's like, I didn't do anything wrong. He would shoot me up with steroids and tell me it's good for my body. Hey, I didn't put it in their arm. Vince McMahon, all these wrestlers are dying due to like suicide. Do you have anything? It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Well, you're not paying them, but their mental health and all that stuff. Yeah. Well, it's their life. Like, okay.
All right, dude. Yeah, don't take any culpability for that.
Vince McMahon, dude, that documentary is nuts, dude.
It's crazy, man.
That one's, I mean, some of the stuff you find out, you're like, man, I used to watch this show religiously.
I saw something the other day that, like, the WWE is going to stop pushing to try to get people to bet on their matches. I'm like, yeah, because they're fixed. It's a TV show.
I was gonna say, it can't happen.
Bet on that? Oh, that's terrible.
What's that video? The woman that's like, the guy's like super obese, and he's like spent like $1,200 on Pokemon Go.
Oh,
she's like, does anybody else in the world spend $1,200? A week on Pokemon Go? They should, if you're serious.
Who the hell is that?
Dude, I gotta cut it in the break, but I'll play it.
What is that from?
It's this dude that's getting he's getting checked by his wife or girlfriend. She's like, did any of your other friends spend $1,200 a week on Pokemon Go? And he's like, I don't know, they should, if you're serious.
I mean, dude, it's like this guy's
How
really
do we get to Pokemon Go from talking about Balco and narcissism?
I don't know, man.
I miss that. Like,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Step. Did you miss that step too, Mac? Or am I just like lost?
You might have missed this
I'm
step.
I'm here for long for the ride, man.
We call this show After Hours. You're listening to 96.5 and you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.